Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading from the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua, and this is chapter 21, and there's 45 verses in this chapter. We're also going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting at verse 29, and also we're going to be reading from 1 Peter, chapter 1, probably verses 1 through 7. And right now we'll ask the Lord to bless this service, to anoint it. We know that He's here because we have to have faith in the things that He said. And He said, "Where as many as two or more are gathered together in My name, there I will be also." And so He's here. There's no question about it. And we need to exercise our faith and believe everything that the Lord says in His Word in order for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and also to be able to walk in faith throughout every day, one day at a time. And Father, we ask that You anoint while You're here, and we know You're going to do it because we're asking in Jesus' name, every word from Your Word, that it brings forth life. Lord, that life will enter into the hearts of the very inward man of everyone that's hearing this, that You open their ears and let these words of life, Your words, the words that You have in Your Bible, you know, Your word is spirit and it's life, and therefore it brings forth spiritual life. And that's the only life that will not fade away. It'll last forever. It's eternal. It's immortal, everlasting life. Anoint everything that's done on this tape. Anoint every word that's spoken. And Lord, for Your glory, for the glory of You, Lord, You saved us. Yeah, You died on the cross for us. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, and for the purpose of Your being able to work in us, and to cut us into diamonds, as a diamond is cut, rather, to make us like pure gold, where we you'll be able to see Your reflection in us. In gold, when it's pulled out of the ground, and in diamonds, there's all kinds of impurities in it, just as there are when You called us. And this is why You put us through fire. You put us through a lot of fire until we start, all this impurity starts bubbling out of us, and You look down into our souls, into our spirits, to see if You can see Your reflection. And if You cannot, well, then we go through a lot of other fire that You put us through in order for us to be better men, women, and children. Lord, a lot of us people, I hear them say, "I wonder why I'm being put through all this fire when I do everything I can to serve the Lord. And I try and I try, and yet God doesn't seem to be blessing me." But we are put through the fire. The Lord allows that and actually causes it, so that He will be able to see His reflection in us, so we will reflect the Lord. A person just called me on the phone and told me, it was Don Wolf, and said, "Well, there's a brother that just came up to the church, and he made a donation, and he was a real good brother when he was here, but he went off with some woman. They were doing a paint job for her, and so he wound up going to committing fornication with her, and maybe adultery even, I don't know." He said, "Boy, he'd sure, you know," inferring that he should be back in the church. Well, it doesn't matter if people were, Father, if they were good brothers and sisters, and then they turn back and into a life of sin. There's no place for them in heaven, and no place for them in, if there's no place for them in heaven, then there's no place in the church for them here on earth, because they've been gone for years. And so, you know, I told Don Wolf that I go by Your guidelines, Your word, and not by Don Wolf's emotions or this other person's emotions. We're not an emotional church. We're a scriptural church, one that has hope of entering the kingdom of heaven because we don't commit fornication or adultery or lesbianism or homosexuality or lie or cheat people or murder or commit abortions and all these different things that the world just delights and they love doing. We're not drunkards, we're not dopers. We love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, for this is the first and most important commandment. Wouldn't matter if we were totally moral on all the other issues, all your other commandments, and we broke that one, we still cannot get into the kingdom of heaven because you don't know us. We must love you, to love to communicate to you, to love your word so much because it keeps us away from sin, and it keeps us, and your spirit keeps us from being killed. You tell us when to go and when to come in and when to do this or that, whatever. Lord, you tell us everything. The Holy Spirit, you said, would teach us all things, and he does. Now, Father, bless this service in every way, and we give you all the honor, the praise, the glory, and the thanks. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go ahead and read from Joshua chapter 21, verse 1, and then we'll go from there.
The different towns given to the tribe of the Levites, the priests.
Okay, so according to the Bible, all these different towns and everything in the Old Testament was predestinated. God knew of all the talents they were going to get. He actually told them they're going to get the promised land. And they did. Amen?
Amen.
And he knew that he was going to open up the Jordan and that he was going to bring all the plagues on Egypt. There isn't anything that is new in God's eyes. He knows the end of time at the very same time that he knew the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
He even knew that Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world. He knew that everybody was going to be a sinner. He died, in God's mind, Jesus died on the cross before the foundations of the earth. That was a done deal. Amen?
Amen.
It was like the Bible says so. And so he knew everyone that's going to accept him, and every person that was going to reject him. Well, if God knows... Some people will ask them, who's going to be saved and all those that are going to be lost? How come he chooses some to be saved and some to be lost? He doesn't do that. His word says that it doesn't please him that any man is lost, any man, woman, or child, but he said he just knows the ones that will accept the plan of salvation. He knows, he predestinated everything that's going to happen. He says, okay, here's salvation. Now, he knows, and here's the rules to have eternal life. And if you don't do it, you're not going to have eternal life. And so, he predestinated that plan of salvation and the plan of rejection. He made us not robots, but he made us free moral agents. And so therefore, people he knew who was going to be predestinated, he pre-told, and knows who was going to accept his will to live, to choose to live by his will, and to choose to just do their own thing. And so the ones that he predestinated, that he knew, in other words, that were going to choose his way, he also... regenerated, and also he is glorified them, all right? It's already, in other words, we're not glorified yet. It's because we're still regenerated and in the process of becoming glorified will be glorified in the kingdom of God. Providing, that's if we continue on in the faith. That's providing. So God knows which ones of us is going to continue on to the faith. I hope that siren is not coming over on this microphone. That just shows that we're still here in Los Angeles, good old L.A., and, you know, there's all kinds of crimes going on here, and just like there is in all the major cities, and we're here on earth, just like the Lord said it would be, full of crime and incest and fornication and adultery, and that there'd be all kinds of killings, murders, violence, earthquakes, pestilence, everything on the face of the earth today. And so we know that the Word of God is true. But anyway, let's go to the 8th chapter of Romans now, after we know that all these cities were predestinated for the Levites. And the Levites are just symbolic of us. We're just passing through this world, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so this world is somewhat like a bridge, because we're on the move. Christians are always on the move. I mean, if you're a real Christian, you're on the move all the time. You're not sitting there. People don't build houses on bridges, do they?
No.
No, why? Because it's a place for you to move from one place to another. Amen?
Amen.
And so, we're not building. This world is just a bridge into the kingdom of heaven. It's like, what we do here will determine whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. So if you feel like you should just settle down and get acquainted with this world, when the Lord tells us, love not the world and fashion yourself not after the world, but to be not conformed to the world. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
But be transformed into the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So conforming to the world is that you just lay up your treasure here on this side of eternity, and you just love everything to do here, instead of studying to make yourself a workman of God, to be approved by Him, worthy for His Spirit to live in, and to give you the power to be cut while you're going through the fire without falling away. Now, a lot of people are not able to be steady in the Lord, and they don't look at it that God knows the end at the same time as the beginning, and they don't want to conform or to be transformed to the Lord so that they can be later glorified. They want to be conformed to the world, and they like to build their house on a bridge. But the Lord said we're pilgrims passing through on the move, and the Bible says that we're scattered. We are a people that is scattered, and that we have no certain dwelling place. Amen?
Amen.
And that our final home is the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to remember all these things of what we are, so that we don't go astray. Amen?
Amen.
And try to become something that we're really not, because the things that we try to make ourselves be are of no value. We see people alive, and then we see that they're dead. And whatever they did on the face of this earth, it's like this man says, well, this man was a good Christian at one time, but he's been gone for years now, and he's been committing fornication all this time, and he was a good brother, so can't we? No, I mean, he's settled down into the world, amen?
Amen?
And he wants to come to a service, that's all. I'll let him come to the service, amen?
Amen.
Just to see what he's lost, all right? But I told him if he wasn't saved at the time, then that's one thing. Then if he got saved now, that's another thing. But he said he was a good brother at one time. And so that meant that he was saved. He tasted the Spirit of the Lord, the good things, and knew of what was coming up in the future, because the Lord tells us what his predestination is for us. He tells us that he's transformed us, and we're regenerated, and we're filled with the Spirit of grace or power, the power of God. We've been given that power in order to make the journey across the bridge, amen, into the eternal place that it doesn't fade away. It's always going to be there, and the people that are there, the glorified saints, will never fade away either. We live forever and ever in a glorified state, which means beautiful and eternal forever. So we mustn't look at eternity as something that's a bit not as good as this world, because the world is going to be destroyed by the Lord, and it's going to fade away, and there's nothing here to cling on to. This is why we go through the fire, and we rejoice when we go through fire, because it makes a better person out of us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the people in the world that go through fire, we go through the same fire they do. Nobody gets off the hook with fire. Amen?
Amen.
But they don't have anything, no consolation. There's no consolation prize for them. And it doesn't make them better, it makes them bitter. And it makes them without any hope. But us, the born-again Christian that have been predestinated by the Lord to be in the kingdom of heaven, to be glorified, we have a lot of consolation, because the Bible states that the trials and tribulations that we go through make us like gold. Amen?
Amen.
It fashions us and makes us a better person. I'm sure that there's a lot of you people, if you're really of the Lord, can say that, boy, I went through some fire, it was horrible and everything, but afterwards I say, I thank God that I went through it, because I'm a better Christian now. I'm stronger. I gained power and strength through it. But the unsaved people can't say that. They have no reward whatsoever. But anyway, let's begin reading here from the 8th chapter of Romans, which starts out, there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, that not walk according, they don't walk according to this world, but their treasure is laid up in the kingdom of heaven. That's where their heart is, and that's where they're in the Spirit with the Lord in heavenly places, and with this great hope, because the Bible says if you can see something, you don't have to hope for that. Amen?
Amen.
Because you can see it. But that which you can't see, the invisible things that I talked about on the tape yesterday, are really there. Okay, just like the television and radio waves and microwaves and ultraviolet rays and all kinds of things that are in the air. You can't see them, but they're there. And just like that, God is in the air. He's everywhere, and he knows everything that's going on, and he knows everything that we're thinking and doing, and what we're premeditating in our minds to do. He knows if our hearts are set in the kingdom of heaven, if it's a glorious feeling for us to know that we're saved, if our mind is set on heaven, if we're just crossing the bridge, we're on the move, we're always with the tracks trying to get people's souls saved. He knows if our hearts are there, or if our hearts and minds and souls is on, what are we going to eat? Are we going to Disneyland, Seven Flags, SeaWorld, the beach, for our pleasure? I say, well, or the ice capades, or, you know, all the different things that the people of the world think of constantly. Or is your mind, it's all right to go to the beach and things like that, but is your mind on the Lord when you go there? Amen?
Amen.
That's the thing. if the Lord says it's all right to go to the beach, it's all right to go to the beach. I would go to a private beach, not to the beaches where the people are walking around with lewd bathing suits, and many of them no bathing suits at all. All right, but our mind, our goal is the kingdom of heaven, and we're on the move thinking about winning souls all the time. If we're going down to the beach, we're taking a batch of tracks with us, we're hitting the cars with them, and we have them handy so that in the event that somebody is near and starts talking about certain things, we can hand them a track and give them something to read while they're on the beach. Or if you're going to the park or someplace, we're here as pilgrims, and we're here to be used by the Lord for His purpose. And His purpose, He called us into in this world. And it's just said that we could use the world, but we're not a part of the world. We just cannot be a part of it. We can use it. In other words, we can eat the food here and drink the water and eat the fruit and drink the juice from the fruit and all these different things. But we are not to abuse the world. We're not to show the world that we're really not Christians, that we're the same as they are, because we're ashamed to be different than the people in the world. And so therefore our treasure is that we are worshipped, or we make ourselves friendly with the people of the world, rather than to show them that we want you to be friendly with the people that are of the kingdom of heaven, and we want you to go to heaven with us. Amen?
Amen.
So those are the main things. So let's start reading verse 29.
Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate.
He, in other words, who he knew. Now, all the ones that he doesn't know, he's going to tell them, I never knew you. So all those he knew, he predestinated to be in heaven, to be transformed, to be regenerated, and to be glorified in the kingdom of God. But it says all those that he foreknew, right?
Right.
Okay, read that again.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate.
Okay, so all those that will come to him, he predestinates them to be able to be in heaven. Well then, so it's not his fault. He says, I would that all people, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone that believes on him should have eternal life, right?
Right.
And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ means that you do all the things that his word tells you to do. Well, you know, I used to think the way that people would preach that, I believe in the name of Jesus. No, the name of, but I didn't know at that time that the name of Jesus was the Word of God. That's his real name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, but I didn't really believe the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That you got to just lay down everything, your life, your old worldly life, and take up a cross, deny yourself, and follow the Word of the Lord, which is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So does that make sense? Yes. Okay, so read that again.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate.
So he's not saying, so people say, well, then why didn't he predestinate us? You have to come to him and accept him. If you don't accept him, then he doesn't know you. If I want to know somebody, and I'll come up and talk to him. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, man, where are you from? What's your name? Okay? But you don't even do that, you people that are predestinated for hell. So he predestinates those of us that he knows that want to know him. You don't want to know him, he don't want to know you. He's not going to come chasing after you. He sends his witnesses after you to repent, but if you say no, 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 then we're told to shake the dust of our sandals or our tennis shoes or whatever we're wearing off at you. And if we're from Arkansas, possibly just shake off the dust from our toenails. Some people out there go barefoot. And that's okay, too. All right? So, you know, don't bring accusations against God that he didn't care. He died so that whosoever would come to him, believe on him, would have eternal life and not perish, not go to hell. Okay, so finish the sentence.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Right. Only those that he knows he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be just like him. And the Bible says that we are just like him if we are in him and he's in us. And if we are, we know him. If we're saved. If you're not conforming yourself to be conformed to him, because that's the purpose. That's the reason he predestinated us to know him, is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, that we're just like him. As he is in this world, the Bible says, so are we. Amen?
Amen.
So if you fall short from that, well, the Lord says he gives you a chance to grow. If you don't know this now, now you do. If you didn't know it to this time, now you know it. Amen?
Amen.
And it's right here in the Bible. I'm not reading out of Grimes fairy tales, okay? Sharon's reading from the Bible. Okay? So read it again just to make sure everybody knows it.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So that Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren, that he'd be born inside of every person that becomes a brother. Amen?
Amen.
Among many brethren. Not as many as those that's going to reject him, because everybody thinks that the world, they think, is really hip and groovy, and the new buildings going up, and everything old is supposed to not be good anymore. I keep an old bus because it's made out of steel. I don't like the new plastic ones. You know, the older, the better. Amen?
Amen.
And this knowledge is as fresh today as it was the day it was written. And the sun is still, and the moon, and the stars, and the ocean, and everything is still doing the things that God originally made it to do. And so that was that which was from old time, which was not that long ago, only about a little over 6,000 years ago, is still functioning very new and powerful today. But the earth has waxed old like a garment. It's refusing to give its strength, and so therefore fruit and vegetables and things don't have the nutrients in it as they did when God originally created it. And that's why people don't live as long today as they did back then. Adam lived a long time, and Methuselah and Noah and all these people, they lived for hundreds of years. So anyway, let's go on now to the next verse.
30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Okay, so them he predestinated, those that he knew would accept him, he also called into the ministry. And he did this before the foundation of the world. So he knew that you were going to accept him. And he knew the ones that would just come into the church to use it as a nice, comfortable place to nestle down in, because they're not movers. They don't move along like Christians do. They're not constantly sojourning as a Christian would, going across the bridge, but they have an idea to be like the people of the world and settle down. They want to build a house and get all kinds of nice furniture and get some pets and the carpet, drapes, heating, air conditioning, and nice windows and landscaping and everything, and that's their main goal. It's okay to have all that stuff, but not to think of it as anything that's permanent, because your life is just like a blade of grass, a shadow, a vapor. At best, that's what it is. But we have to move along. We have to keep going in doing the will of the Lord. So read that verse again.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
He called to do what? To sit and settle down in this world?
No.
He says, don't gather up treasures on this side of eternity, where the thieves can come and steal it, and the moths can eat up your clothing, and your car is going to rust out, especially if you live around the sea, because the salt will rust it out, and it's going to collapse sooner or later. Don't lay up treasures here, but lay them up in the kingdom of God. You're going to cross the bridge. You're going to die. But, so therefore you want to start storing up things that are permanent. Amen?
Amen.
You don't want to go naked into hell in the lake of fire. All right, then what?
And whom he called, them he also justified.
So, okay, if he called us to be in the ministry, because of the fact that we're in the ministry, not because of any other thing, that because he's in us, that means that, and he's covered us with his blood, that means we're justified. That isn't something that's going to happen in the future. It says he already justified us. Amen?
Amen.
So that's past tense. That's a done deal. Amen?
Amen.
And he's already called us. That's a done deal also. Amen?
Amen.
So this is something that you should have to hope for, that you've been called or chosen and called predestinated, because that's already done. Now we hope for being glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read up to that point again.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
So he called. Yeah. Those that will come unto him, we come unto him not just to say a poem or a prayer, but we came to him to be saved for the purpose of not just feeling good for a moment, like a sexual pleasure or something like that, that the people of the world do, but to get pleasure out of knowing the Lord and him knowing you, and also that we should be called. There's a duty that we have to perform. He says, come and follow me. Be conformed, not to this world, but transformed into my life to do the things that I did while I was on earth here. All right? And then what?
And whom he called, them he also justified.
Okay, so if he called us and we came and we got washed in the blood and we agree that we want to go to heaven and we're going to keep your commandments, we're justified. Not because of any good thing that we ever did before. That's all in the past. We've become entirely new creatures. We're like him now. And therefore, we're justified. I hear these false preachers telling people, we're the righteousness of God. We the righteousness of God. And we're justified. And, you people should quit committing adultery and swapping wives and all this sort of thing. You think those kind of people are justified and sanctified and set aside for the work of the Lord? I mean, they're twisting these scriptures to mean something that they're not. Those that he called have been what?
Justified.
Because they're called into the ministry and they have the power of God in them. And God is putting them through fire, making them into gold, so that when he looks down into their souls, the impurities that were there are bubbling out, and he can see a shadow of himself in there. But as we keep going through more and more fire, then he starts seeing his image reflecting back at him, and that's when he's going to be satisfied, and a lot of the heat will be taken off, or that we'll be able to go through the fire and be praising and thanking the Lord as Paul did, because he knew that the Lord was sufficient in everything, that he was being molded and made into the image of the Lord. The Lord can look in there and he knows when we're ripe for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're called to holiness. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen?
Amen?
And this is how we become perfect, is going through fire. The Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
He says, all those that are called, they're going to go through some fire. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to be tempted and tried, and we've got to put on the full armor of God so that we can go through that fire and those temptations with flying colors, that we will not be tempted by anything of this world. Okay, then what?
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
So he glorified. Well, I thought we're not glorified yet. Yes, we are, because it's a done deal. Okay? Because we're going to be in heaven too. Amen?
Amen?
As a matter of fact, we're sitting there with Christ in heavenly places in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So in a sense, we already, because we can be sure, if we continue on in the faith, that we're glorified also. I mean, it's a done deal. It just hasn't come to... We're just not there as transformed into this new ecclesiastical body. But it's there as long as we continue on. Amen?
Amen.
But those, he said, that don't continue on, there's no more forgiveness for a person that would, knowing the glory that of being glorified by just simply staying in his body and being conformed into his image by going through fire and going through his word. Well, I mean, why would God want to let somebody that just throws that away by sinning some vile sin on the face of... Why would God let anybody in the kingdom of heaven that would do something like that? Okay, then what?
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Right. If we're going through fire, I mean, if we're justified and glorified, it's a done deal. Amen?
Amen.
Then what can be against us? Huh? Could death?
No.
No, because the minute we die, we're glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're already glorified, and so we just start enjoying the glorification of it all. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll never die. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
Amen. So who could be against us? 10,000 soldiers, so they encompass around me, I shall not be afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I'm sanctified, justified, glorified. Amen?
Amen.
And I've separated, I'm sanctified, I've sanctified myself, set myself aside from the world, because the Lord called me away from the world into his glorious kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
So he gives us all things. Whatsoever we ask, if he's in us and we're in him, we get. The main thing is we have, he says that the things that are laid up in heaven are ours. It doesn't say, heaven is ours too, but that isn't the reward exactly. It's the things that are laid up in heaven for us, it says. Like, the heaven is like a box, and the treasure's inside the box. Amen?
Amen.
So he has all these things, treasures, laid up for us in the box, heaven. Heaven is not a box. It's a beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous place. But can you imagine how great the reward is? Amen? Heaven on top of being, with the Lord is there. Amen?
Amen.
The one that saved us and cared about us and told us the right way to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's our treasure. Amen? Because we're his treasure. Amen?
Amen.
We were his treasure enough to die for us. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's there, and all of the kingdom of heaven and all of his creation belongs to us. Now that's a done deal, and it's the most fantastic deal on the face of that you can't even fathom it, you know, yet. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, all the things, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments, that treasure him and keep his commandments. How do you expect God to treasure you if you don't treasure him? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now let's go over to 1 Peter and see if there's any conflict of interest here.
Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
The strangers. Aren't we strangers in this world?
Yes.
This is not our world. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? Amen?
Amen.
Heaven is my home. Amen?
Amen.
Not here. I don't like this world. This world is full of violence and filth and sin and degeneracy. I love heaven, okay?
Yeah.
Where the Lord is. Okay, then what?
2. Elect according to the...
So elect. That shows that we've been elected. Selected. He's saying, because he's talking to all saints, which includes us. Amen?
Amen.
It says elect. That means selected. When you elect the president, you selected him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it says elect. We've been selected. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God.
The foreknowledge. Amen. There it is again, right?
Yes.
He knew that we were going to be elected because we were going to come to him. I mean, if somebody, I advertise for a person to come to work for me, and only the ones that come to work for me are the ones I'm going to hire. Amen?
Amen.
And only the ones that agree with the payment plan that I'm going to give them. Say, well, okay, I don't like, you know, got to go through trials, tribulations, prisons and, you know, beatings and stones and all. And to get into him, I think I'll pass. Then they go. I'm not going to hire that guy. Amen?
Amen.
But say, okay, you're going to go through fire, trials, tribulations, fiery darts from the saints. Satan's going to hate you. All the people in the government is going to, you know, a lot of them are going to just do everything they can to try to stop you, frustrate you, cause you to just want to give up and throw in the towel. And the wages, you may, you know, you're going to, you got to turn your back on the world. You got to take up a cross and deny your flesh. Don't be so concerned about what your flesh wants, because the flesh is not going to profit anything. You start loving the things of the flesh, you're liable to love a lot of delicious food here. You're liable to get as fat as Fatty Arbuckle, you know, or a hippo. So love, you know, let not your flesh be the controlling factor in your life. Yeah, let the Lord, you know, so here you are, you say you're going to have to deny the flesh and take up the cross and follow you. And I get heaven, and I got to get to be with the Lord and all that for just this temporary life that we're living in. We're going to go through. I'll take the job. Those are the ones that are the elect. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God says, okay, he's got, there's no unemployment in the Lord. They all can come if they want to. But only the elect, the ones that elect to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the ones that God elects to, he hires. And he lets his spirit live in them so that he can do his work in them. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, and with the Jews, he says, I'm going to give you the promised land down here. And I hear, so you're going to all have your inheritance. That's going to be your own country. You don't have a country at all. And the priests are not going to have any particular land. We're going to grant them a place to live and also a place to graze their cattle and so on. This is all predestinated. God knew where they were going to be from even before the foundation of the earth, and You know, it's just amazing how the Bible correlates itself. Amen. He knew everything it says. At the time of creation, he knows the end of time too. Amen. So he knew the what was going on in the world today. Airplanes, he talks about freeways full of automobiles. He calls it chariots jostling about with the torches on the lights, headlights on them. On the throughways, he calls them. Flying saucers, he talks about in these last days. Vapor of smoke over the cities. Mushroom clouds, the atomic bombs. Wars, rumors of wars, violence, the condition of the world would be the same. Mirth or comedy stores would be exalted. And what doeth it? Mirth means nothing whatsoever. It's just part of the fruitless world. It's nothing. Nothing at all. It's just going to be gone, and what a tragedy that people are sucked into such stupidity. Next verse, please.
To elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit.
Through sanctification of the Spirit. Foreknowledge of God to those that allow themselves to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit away from the things of the world. Sanctification means that you willingly take the job and start out by setting yourself away from the world. Okay? Are you going to hire somebody that doesn't come to you to be hired? Huh?
No.
No. Some of you have a hard time saying no. You're really in a bad state of mental condition and spiritual as well. No, because you don't know that they want a job. They don't come. Now, our church is open to all those that want to serve the Lord. It's you don't pay for a place to stay. You get food. Well, we don't like you. You know, we heard all kinds of bad things about you. Well, of course, they said bad things about Jesus, and Jesus said they'd say bad things about us. But you either going to believe the world or the Word. Okay?
Amen.
Now, if we're preaching the gospel and we're doing all the things that the Lord says to do, if you can't trust us, then who could you trust? Sam Goody Record Store? Or IMAX or Disney? You trust them? Or anybody else in the world that isn't serving the Lord? I don't trust them. I trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the people of the Lord that I know are really of the Lord. All right, so read that again.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood.
Okay, so they say you don't have to be obedient. Right here it says sanctifying yourself away from the world and be obedient to follow the Spirit of God that's in you, to be on the move as the Spirit moves you. And the Spirit has already told me, distribute the literature or you'll all be wiped out. If you do, you will not be destroyed, but if you don't, you shall surely be destroyed. So you people that are nestling down, you think it's too uncomfortable, or that you've been in the church so long that you needn't obey the Lord any longer, you're in bad shape, spiritually and mentally, physically, every way there is. You don't settle down on the bridge. You have to keep moving to cross the bridge to get into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
This world is nothing but a bridge from here to eternity. Okay? And you don't build houses or park your car on the bridge because we all want to get across. Amen? Don't get in our way. Okay, then what?
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right, to just keep covered in the blood. Then what?
Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
That means power unto you of God to keep you to doing these things, to keep yourself away from the world, your flesh, the devil, the things of this earth, and that way you'll have peace of mind in this world. No matter what trials and tribulations you have to go through, and no matter how the devil tries to depress you, or distress you in one way or the other, or make you feel like, you know, you're getting a bad shake, It's not, you know, you're not getting the right amount. Somebody's getting more than you. Just stay in the Lord and have peace. Amen?
Amen.
Don't worry about what, if you just do what the Lord says, that's, and you see somebody getting what you think is more than you, and you just say, praise the Lord, that means that more treasure is stacking up for you in heaven. Because you're trusting the Lord to dole out stuff to you. If people in this world are not doling out what you think is your fair share, don't worry about it. God will give you exactly what you deserve. Amen? Over there. And you're not going to be here that much longer, so don't worry about it. Amen?
Amen.
You got to get the right attitude. Amen?
Amen.
This is the attitude of the Holy Spirit. The Lord didn't care that he was offered the whole world. He didn't take any of it. Amen?
Amen.
He was offered the whole world by Satan. Satan tried to make him the first pope. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this pope is sitting in grandiose settings. You know, they've got five nightclubs in the place, a discotheque and everything over there in the Vatican. But what he has is all he's going to get on this earth, and he's got nothing on the other side except torment. So he's settling down. You know, these Catholics with their big monasteries, they're not on the move. They're settled down in Rome, in Venice, Italy, and all these big monasteries, and in the grape fields, you know, Napa Valley, and so on and so forth. They're all settled down. They enjoy, they live sumptuously on this earth. They don't pay taxes or anything, and they think they've really got it made. But any of you that are listening to this tape, let me tell you that God never called you to do that. Okay, yes, not the Lord to settle down. People of the Lord are on the move. They're on the move. Amen?
Amen.
They're crossing. It says that we're scattered, that we're going in one direction, though. One direction to the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
It's a lively hope. We can't see the kingdom of heaven any more than television waves or anything, but we know God is everywhere. He's the air. Everything you see in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything in the earth, the invisible God made. So the invisible is far longer lasting than this earth that the Lord said is soon to perish, to burn up. And even the elements of the earth, the actual molecules and atoms and protons and all these different things are going to burn and melt with a fervent heat. So lay up for heaven, because that is never going to burn up. Amen?
Amen.
Be holy, for I am holy, the Lord says. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect, saith the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled.
See, that's our inheritance. Our inheritance is, it can't be corrupted. There's no defilement there. There's no violence there. It's no corruption. Amen?
Amen.
No sickness, no disease, no infirmities. No old age. You're going to stay young. No ugliness. Even if you consider yourself to be ugly, you're still a child of the Lord. The Lord loves. He thinks you're beautiful, and you will be beautiful throughout eternity. So that should lift you up, you know. Forget about what we look like on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're going to be in eternity real soon, and we're going to be perfect, perfectly gorgeous. Amen?
Amen.
Gorgeous. All right, then what?
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away.
It's not going to fade away. This earth is fading away. But heaven never fades. It just stays permanent. Permanente. Okay, then what?
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5.
We have a reservation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if I call up a restaurante here in the United States or in Europe or someplace and ask for reservations into the restaurant, and I get on an accident or something on the way there, and I can't show up for my reservation. So that, you know, you could have an accident if you don't stay in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Even though your table is reserved there, your place, be very aware of the fact what the Lord says, that even the angels in heaven fell away and from God's power, which is eternal life and perfection and all the treasures there. And you got a reservation there, all right, if you're moving along and trying to bring some souls in there with you. But if you're not, well, I mean, you're just settling down and trying to conform to the world rather than being transformed into the image of God's dear Son, Jesus. So he says it's reserved. Let's read that part again.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Reserved in heaven for you. You've got a reservation there. But the Bible says if you fall away, there's going to be a great falling away in these last days. And he said he's not coming back until that happens. And I see that has already happened. It's reserved again.
Reserved in heaven for you.
It's in heaven. Your reservation is in heaven for you. You who is keeping the commandments of the Lord, staying in the Spirit, and you treasure what is there for you so much that you don't let anything move you away from the hope of that thing that you cannot see now, but is for sure there. Go ahead then.
Reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God.
Who are kept. You can't get away from that if you expect to keep your reservation. You know, you must be kept by the Holy Spirit. Who are kept by what?
By the power of God.
By the power of God. Don't let the power of God leave you. Amen? Isn't this self-explanatory?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Who are kept by the power of God through faith.
By faith. By faith in this great hope. By faith that the invisible is right here watching every move. Amen?
Amen.
The great invisible God. God showed himself the only way that God could show himself to be visible was to come in the body of a human and have him do all the powerful things that he did while he was here on earth. So God, it says that in the image of God. Well, God has no image except Jesus. Jesus was the only, because God is invisible. Invisible has no image. Amen?
Amen?
So God makes himself visible through Jesus. I saw Jesus, which means I saw God, because God made himself visible in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read that again.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed.
Okay, unto salvation. Well, we're already saved. Yes, but those that continue on to the end are the only ones that are going to have salvation, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So you must continue on. And why give up at these last minutes of time? This is the time that you should be more stronger than billions of bulldogs. Okay, because you got to make it in. Okay, or else you're in hell. All right? You have no choice. Okay, then what?
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Yes, it's revealed right now. It's being revealed right in this message. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what's the next verse?
Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice.
Yeah, we greatly rejoice, amen, even through trials and tribulations, because we got it, and we've got the power to keep it, God's power, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Go ahead.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Ah, see, there it is. There's going to be manifold temptations, but that's only to make us like gold, to just show us that, Lord, we deserve to go to heaven. We're putting it down. We're putting this temptation down. We see God. Yeah, I know you're invisible. You see us, though. I know you're everywhere. So, hey, here's the shield of faith, Lord. I'm warding off all these fiery temptations with the shield of faith. Okay? Through all these manifold, which means many temptations. We're living in the hour of temptation. Everywhere you look, it's like this, all kinds of stuff. Signboards are up showing people's posteriors, their rear ends, their buttocks, their toilets, and people just glaring at them. You got to say the blood of Jesus against you. Okay, and just turn your head, flee from the very appearance of evil, whatever it is, whatever your temptation is, if it's gooseberry pie with whipped cream on, turn it away, amen?
Amen.
Okay, next.
Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold.
See, the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold, because it's showing God that you've got the right stuff to enter heaven with, that you really deserve going to heaven. When you turn away temptations, you're showing God, I'm your girl, I'm your guy. Amen?
Amen.
I'm your boy, I'm your girl. Amen?
Amen.
Turn them away. When the thoughts come to you, turn it down. Okay? Because you're going to go through them. Because why? Because God wants to look into your soul and see His image. He wants to see His reflection in there. Amen?
Amen?
Into the image of God. If you don't, well, then He's not going to see. All He's going to see is dross, or in other words, impurities. There cannot be any impurity in heaven. Okay, then what?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Was that 7?
Yes.
All right. Now, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, right there is a meal in itself. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we'll go into the predestination here in Joshua 21, because we're reading through the Bible, and this is very important. All these people, if they would have known that these lands that are being doled out to them, we're predestinated for everything is predestinated. Amen?
Amen.
God knows who is going to accept, and He knows those who are not going to accept. God knows who's going to, those that are going to hide the devil inside them by not confessing, and God knows those that are going to confess and get that out of their system, get the devil out. Okay, then what?
The different towns given to the tribe of the Levites, the priests.
Chapter 21, Joshua, verse 1.
King James Version. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 2. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle.
And the Lord knew that they were going to say all these words from even before the foundation of the earth. If He knew that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth, God already experienced that way before Jesus ever went to the cross. But in His mind, He did go to the cross. It's all just a replay in God's mind. It was all done. Everything you're saying, everything you're thinking, everything you're doing, God already knew it. He knew whether you'd accept righteousness or if you'd want to go unrighteously through this one-time-only life. Because there's only this life, and then there's eternal life, and that's it. Okay, then what else?
Verse 3, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. Verse 4, and the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. Verse 5, and the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities.
Okay, let's just go into the translation now, and we'll just read all the way through, instead of, because everybody is reading their King James along with this, and so there's no need to do that, because there's so many verses, which are exactly good. All of them are very important, but it's about, you know, the same. It's just maybe a little word difference here, which I pray is better. Or more explanatory. Then what?
Okay, verse 6. The clan of Gershon received 13 towns from the tribe of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. Verse 7. The clan of Merari received 12 cities from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. Verse 8. So the Israelites obeyed the Lord's command to Moses, and assigned these towns and pasture lands to the Levites by casting sacred lots. Verse 9. The Israelites gave the following towns from the tribes of Judah and Simeon. Verse 10, to the descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi, since the sacred lot fell to them first. Verse 11, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with its surrounding pasture lands. Arba was an ancestor of Anak. Verse 12, but the fields beyond the city...
Anak is like a giant. The Anakians. Okay, then what else?
Verse 12, but the fields beyond the city and the surrounding villages were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Verse 13, the following towns with their pasture lands were given to the descendants of Aaron the priest. Hebron, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone. Libna, verse 14, Jatir, Eshtemoah, verse 15, Holon, Debir, verse 16, Aen, Jutta, and Beth Shemesh, 9 towns from these 2 tribes. Verse 17, from the tribe of Benjamin, the priests were given the following towns with their surrounding pasture lands, Gibeon, Gibba, verse 18, Anatoth, and Almon, 4 towns. Verse 19, so 13 towns were given to the priests, the descendants of Aaron.
This is the book of Joshua. Then what?
Verse 20, the rest of the Kohathite clan from the tribe of Levi was allotted these towns and pasture lands from the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 21, Shechem, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, Gezer, verse 22, Gibzaim, and Beth Horon, 4 towns. Verse 23, the following towns and pasture lands were allotted to the priests from the tribe of Dan, Eltika, Gibeathon, verse 24, Ajalon, and Gethrimmon, 4 towns. Verse 25, the half-tribe of Manasseh allotted the following towns with their pasture lands to the priests, Taanach and Gathrimmon, 2 towns. Verse 26, so 10 towns with their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clan. Verse 27, the descendants of Gershon, another clan within the tribe of Levi, received 2 towns with their pasture lands from the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan, a city of refuge, and Beeshtera. Verse 28, from the tribe of Issachar they received Kishon, Deberoth. Verse 29, Jarmeth and Enganim, 4 towns with their pasture lands. Verse 30, from the tribe of Asher they received Mishal, Abdon, verse 31, Helkath and Rehob, 4 towns with their pasture lands. Verse 32, from the tribe of Naphtali they received Kadesh in Galilee, a city of refuge, Hamath, Dor, and Kartan, 3 towns with their pasture lands. Verse 33, so 13 towns and their pasture lands were allocated to the clan of Gershon. Verse 34, the rest of the Levites, the Merari clan, were given the following towns from the tribe of Zebulun: Jokneam, Kartah, verse 35, Dimna, and Nahalal, four towns with their pasture lands. Verse 36, from the tribe of Reuben they received Bezer, Jahaz, verse 37, Kedemoth, and Mephaath, four towns with their pasture lands. Verse 38, from the tribe of Gad they received Ramoth in Gilead, a city of refuge, Mahanaim, verse 39, Heshbon and Jazer, four towns with their pasture lands. Verse 40.
All this is predestinated. Amen?
Amen.
Just like a place for us in the kingdom of heaven is predestinated. This was quite a treasure here on earth, but not even in any comparison to the treasures in the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 40. So 12 towns were allotted to the clan of Merari. Verse 41. The total number of towns and pasture lands within Israelite territory given to the Levites came to 48. Verse 42. Every one of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it. Verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they conquered it and settled there. Verse 44.
See, they're predestinated. Amen?
Amen.
They conquered it, just like the Lord said they would if they did what he said. And they possessed it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors.
See, and he promises all these things, treasures in heaven. The heaven is the place, but the treasures is in the place. Amen?
Amen.
The place itself is a treasure, you know, is also wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies.
If God be with you, who could be against you? Amen?
Amen.
Just do what he says. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then what?
Verse 45. All the good promises that the Lord had given Israel came to pass. They came true.
Everything that God says comes true. All right, now that was Joshua, the 21st chapter, 45 verses. That's the translation. And now we've got some commentary.
21 verse 1 through 45. The tribe of Levi was to disperse, in other words, fan out all over the entire land of Israel and live in cities throughout Israel so that they could minister to people throughout every part of it.
Yeah, they had to move along. Amen?
Amen.
Move along. People of the Lord, move along. They don't sit. Okay? You sit, you're liable to grow roots into the chair. Amen?
Amen.
Don't grow roots into this world. This is not your home if you're a Christian. Then what?
They were to make provision for worship of God and teach the law.
That's what we've been called to do. Amen?
Amen.
Is to cause people, by the word, to worship the Lord and by our testimony, by the Lord being our testimony in us. Then what?
See Deuteronomy 33, verse 10. Since they had no land of their own, they were supported by the tithe of God. Numbers chapter 18, verse 24. The tribe was divided into three clans who descended from the three sons of Levi, the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Merarites. These clans received its cities by sacred lot. 21, verse 2. At this period in Israel's history, cities were enclosed places that had fortified walls for defense. They were usually built on a hill, again for defense, and were surrounded by common lands where the townspeople's cattle and flocks were pastured. 21 verse 4 through 5 and 9 through 26. The Kohathites were divided into four major families and allotted 23 cities. One of the four families was descended from Moses and Aaron and received 13 cities in Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The remaining three families received 10 cities in Ephraim, Dan, and Manasseh. 21 verse 6 through 20 and verse 27 through 33. The descendants of Gershon received 13 cities within the land of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and East Manasseh. This placed them in the northernmost Levitical cities. 21 verse 7 and verses 34 through 40. The Merarites received 12 cities from the lands of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. 21 verse 43 through 45. This passage summarizes the entire first part of the book and its basic message. God is faithful only to the obedient. To the seed of Abraham.
To the select, the chosen, the called. Okay, if you have chosen to not be called, you're a free moral agent. You can go that route. But, you know, you're not going to like it later. Then what else?
To the seed of Abraham, he had promised the land of Canaan. 1 verse 2 through 3. He had promised victory. 1 verse 5. And he had promised rest.
Not only will you not like it later, you're not going to like it here. You have no consolation. There's no peace. Then what?
1 verse 13. Everything the Lord had promised them had been fulfilled. 21 verse 1 through 8. The Levites patiently waited for the other tribes to receive their inheritance before reminding Eleazar and Joshua of God's command that the tribes of Israel were to give to the Levites cities in which to live as an inheritance. See Numbers 35 verse 1 through 8. Israel, in obedience to God's command, fulfilled the responsibility to God and to the tribe of Levi. Acting responsibly toward others brings honor not only to them, but it brings honor to God, not only to them or to ourselves, but mainly to God. That's what it's all about.
Right. When we do things for people, when we bring the gospel to them, it's for God, primarily. It's for them, for ourselves, not just for ourselves, because the treasures become mounting up in heaven when we do that, but it's for God, because God, that's his purpose, to help others, not primarily ourselves. We have to help ourselves too, but primarily to prefer others before ourselves is the second commandment. Okay, then what?
God wants to represent himself in us, and he wants to be honored in us and through us. 21 verse 43 through 45. God accomplished for the people of Israel all that he said he would do. The Israelites, for their part, had taken the land for their possession, so God gave them rest from their enemies. Furthermore, whenever the people served God faithfully and were obedient to his commands, he conquered even the most powerful of their enemies. Israel's problems arose only when they had sinned against God or had failed to act courageously in faith. Today, there are many people that face the same challenge to remain faithful to God. The Israelites were our profound examples of the need for us to continue walking in the Spirit, in this manner, turn our entire life over to God.
Trust him with your life here, because we have to trust him with our soul at the judgment bar of God. All right, that was chapter 21 of Joshua, 45 verses. We had some reading from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and also from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And I pray that you constantly meditate upon these things, both day and night, as the Lord said, to keep you strong as trees planted by the living water. Until chapter 22, God bless you and praise the Lord.